Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Fit Body Happy Joints. My name is Shannon. Today we are talking about cycle syncing your workouts. This is hugely popular right now. And basically what it means is that you're adapting your workouts based on where you are in your menstrual cycle. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what's actually happening from a hormonal perspective and thus a recovery perspective. And I think that what's going on social media is kind of giving recommendations that aren't actually in line with what's happening in your physiology. So today I want to give potentially a more effective way to cycle sync. I'll talk about why to consider cycle syncing and how it can improve how you feel and it can improve your results. We'll talk about what is changing in your body during your cycle from a hormonal perspective. We'll talk about where social media is kind of missing the mark when it comes to cycle syncing. And then lastly, I'll give you some recommendations on how to cycle sync your workouts, whether you're on no hormonal birth control, if you are on the pill, or if you have an IUD, because the recommendations may vary slightly depending on if you're using hormonal birth control and which one you're using. So why should we cycle sync? The biggest reason to cycle sync is so we can optimize our strain to recovery ratio, because you may recover differently depending on the phase of your cycle. So you can adjust your routines so you're working within your own capabilities of recovery. When you can understand your physiology doesn't need more stimulus to adapt optimally, it needs better stimulus, you can see better results and sustain them because you'll also feel better. Again, it's this whole working with your body instead of against it thing. And this really comes from an understanding of how force is traveling through your body with the exercises you're choosing. Not every exercise is created equal. In Evlo, I think what we do really well is we choose exercises with an understanding of physics and how force travels through your body. It's not just the ones that we're choosing, but also the ones we're leaving out. And then it's also understanding how to dose and structure your workouts based on what you can physiologically recover from depending on your own hormonal fluctuations. So this balance between stress and recovery is kind of a constant dance, and it's something to really learn for yourself, because you're going to see better results and feel a lot better when you can learn your own recovery patterns. If you are training too hard through periods of low recovery, for example, like what I'll talk about today in the luteal phase, we tend to have a little lower recovery. But if you're just pushing past that, even though your body is giving you signs that you need a little extra recovery, we might build up too much stress that our bodies don't have the capacity to heal from. And this is when chronic stress issues like hormonal imbalances and joint strain can start to accumulate. Remember that stress is good, but we want to also be able to recover and bounce back from it. Stress is the breakdown, or recovery is the build up. Without both proper stress and recovery, you won't see results. And my hope with this podcast is to kind of teach you how to both stress your body in an optimal way and also how to recover in an optimal way. The idea with cycle syncing is that you understand where your body has greater ability to recover and you take advantage of that. And then you also understand where your body maybe isn't as optimal as far as recovery from a physiological and hormonal standpoint. So maybe you dial it back a little bit during those times, so you aren't just spinning in chronic inflammation and pushing your body when maybe it doesn't have the same capability to recover. An important note with this: you could cycle sync perfectly, but not be seeing great results or feeling very good if you're not structured with your programming and if you're overusing your muscles. No amount of cycle syncing can compensate for lack of proper programming. But once you start to dial in the five basics, which I'll touch on briefly here in a moment, then you can start to cycle sync to dial recovery even further. So that's number one. The second thing I think that's important to understand, and if you listen to my podcast, you know I'm a broken record, exercise's most powerful impact on our body is to build lean mass, not to use exercise as a fat burning tool. Building more lean mass improves insulin sensitivity, which can improve our ability to use fat as fuel. But the act of exercising itself is not a significant contributor to fat burning. And when you can make this shift in your head, you'll notice that you choose different workouts because you're looking for muscle building, and you'll start to see better results. You're going to start to feel a lot better because you're not just aimlessly kind of grinding your body into the ground in the pursuit of burning more fat. If your goal is to balance hormones, one of the best hormones to improve is your sensitivity to insulin. Insulin is one of the few hormones that affects every single cell in our bodies. Improving insulin sensitivity will therefore have a global effect throughout your entire body. And if we want to improve insulin sensitivity, one of the best ways to do that is to build more muscle mass, because muscle is a huge storage site for glucose. And so when we have more ability to store glucose, it decreases your glucose in the bloodstream, which decreases insulin and improves your cells' sensitivity to insulin. I talked about this more in my podcast on metabolic flexibility, the one that I did last week. So if you want more info on that, check that out. So to build muscle, you need five main things. And again, if you listen to my podcast, I think you know this, but it's maybe worth listening to again. So number one is structure and programming. This is something that I see a lot of modern women kind of struggling with things like ClassPass. And many people are going to like a few boot camp classes, and then they'll go to some Pilates classes and a yoga class. And there's really no structure in their routine. There's no structure of how they're straining or stressing their muscles. Because of this, certain muscles can get overstrained, or maybe certain other muscles might get understrained or underused. For example, you might work your glutes and shoulders on Monday in a boot camp class and then go to a reformer class the next day and like fry your glutes and shoulders that day as well. And this can stall progress since your muscles need time in between sessions to grow and recover. You also may notice some joint pain start to crop up because of this overuse and under recovery of your muscles. So having a plan where you're working each muscle group 1 to 2 times per week on non-consecutive days is really going to be that sweet spot where you see the greatest benefits with the least cost to your joints and overall system. So that's number one is structure. Number two is exercise selection. I always say not every exercise is created equal, and I think it's important to not just throw everything at our body without an understanding of how force is traveling through our body and through our joints. So the angle of force that's applied to a muscle is really important. The more direct that angle of force to your muscles, the better the stimulus. When you can get more specific with how you load your muscles, ironically, you can do less but see better results. My favorite new maxim is less but better, and this applies to exercise selection big time. For example, let's say you're doing a Russian twist. It's kind of when you're like, you're seated, your legs are up, your trunk is leaned back, and you have a weight in your hand and you're twisting from side to side. That weight, because of gravity, the line of force is straight down, but your obliques pull to the side. So even though you're holding a weight, that weight isn't really loading the obliques at all because it's pulling in the totally wrong direction. So this is important when we're thinking about resistance training, is the direction of force and how our muscles have to match that force. I think what a lot of people do also with exercise selection that can wear you down and kind of make it so that you're not seeing great muscle growth is that you choose an exercise that works everything at once. Like a plank with a leg lift, and maybe you do a push-up, and the goal in this exercise maybe is that you're working core and you're working arms and you're working glutes. But because the angles of force are not very aligned to the fiber orientation of those muscles, you're really only getting partial stimulus to each of those muscle groups, because all of those muscle groups have their own unique angles of pull. So this means that you either have to do more exercises to get enough stimulus to each of those muscle groups, which increases the length of your workouts and can unnecessarily stress your body, or you just aren't seeing the results because the stimulus isn't specific enough. So trying to work your full body in each exercise kind of ends up being overly stressful on your joints without a huge payoff. Again, this is the less but better philosophy. Target less muscle groups with each exercise, but with better lines of force. So that's, again, something that we really try to do in Evlo is target one muscle group at a time and think about how the line of force is traveling through that muscle. This is one of the reasons why people are like, these classes just feel good and they're easy to stay consistent with. It's because these little things where it's like, it's because we understand how force is going through your body and how it's stressing or straining joints. And then we're choosing exercises that have the least joint strain, but the highest payoff for the muscle. Okay. So that's number two is exercise selection. Number three, the next thing that's important for building muscle is progressive overload. You want to take each lift close to failure. I'm sorry if you listen to my podcast. I know that I might be a broken record. I'm sorry. Hang in. We're going to get to the good stuff here in a second. But if you're just feeling the burn and you're not giving your muscles enough stimulus to actually change it, you're not going to see any change in the muscles. So getting close to failure means that you have about 3 or 4 reps left in the tank. If you feel like you could do your last rep at the same speed in which you could do your first rep, not that you're going fast, but just that you feel like you're unable to lift a weight quickly because of fatigue, then you're likely not getting close to failure. So one of the best indications to know that you're close to that failure point is that your velocity decreases. You really start to slow down. I've gotten a lot of questions about Pilates and barre and if those methods can build muscle. And I'm not going to talk about that too much right now because I don't want to distract myself too much, but go back and listen to episode number 106 if you want to learn more about like higher rep type training. Okay. The fourth important concept for muscle growth is recovery, which this is really what we're talking about today. And cycle syncing is a tool that you can use to adapt your workouts based on your own hormonal fluctuations so you can recover better. And then finally, the fifth basic to building muscle is nutrition. You need enough protein. We rely on exercise far too much to change our bodies, but if it's not paired with proper nutrition, you're going to be putting in the results, but not, or putting in the work, but not seeing the results. So those are the five basics: structure, exercise selection, progressive overload, recovery, and nutrition. So building muscle can improve our hormonal health because of muscle's effect on insulin, but we want to make sure that we're structured and that we're following these five basics if we want to build muscle. Knowing that building muscle is our goal, how can we cycle sync while still continuing to build muscle? Because if we go back to those five basics, one of the most important things is structure and progressive overload. And if you're skipping around between workouts too much and you don't have the structure and consistency, you won't be able to get stronger in lifts. You won't be able to add more weight. You won't be able to add more reps. You'll be kind of like restarting yourself from square one if you're bouncing around too much. So there's a way you can cycle sync while still building muscle, which is going to be excellent for your hormone health, and you're going to feel a lot better. And that's what I really want to talk about today. So I'm going to give some generalizations, but please know that your experience may not 100% match some of these generalizations. They've done studies to show that when it comes to the menstrual cycle, the psychological will supersede the physiological. In other words, there could be some perceived notions or conditioning that you have solidified in your brain about your cycle and how you feel during your cycle, which will create a very real experience for you. For example, we have been conditioned that our period is the time where we need to rest. We may be exhausted. We may be more fragile. I always say like you're hugging a tub of ice cream on the couch. But if you look at what's actually happening hormonally, that doesn't really match how you typically should feel when you're on your period. Because when you're on your period, this is when some of our sex hormones are at their lowest, and it's actually the time where you're closest to a man. And this may be a time where you have higher levels of energy and higher levels of motivation, and you're actually more stress resilient and can recover faster. But because of our conditioning, many women don't feel like that. Or maybe it's not conditioning. Maybe it's genuinely how you feel. And I don't want to discount any of that. And how much of this is coming from conditioning versus how much of that is your own hormonal changes and your responses to your own hormonal changes? It's really hard to know, but I would just encourage you to keep an open mind during your cycle with an understanding that your body may be a little bit different than what I'm going to talk about today. The idea is not to give you a prescription, because here's the thing. If you're like, okay, she's saying I should feel really good on my period, even though I feel like trash on my period, and you're pushing through anyways, it kind of defeats the purpose of cycle syncing, because the whole purpose of cycle syncing is that you are listening to the signs from your body that you may not be recovering, because your body's really wise and will give you those little signs, and you're adjusting your routine based on that. So I recommend just trying to pretend like you don't know anything about how you should or shouldn't feel during your cycle, and just start recording and being aware of your own symptoms. The Flow app is really good if you want to start recording some symptoms and start to track. You can add mood, you can add energy, you can add physical symptoms like bloating, etc. So you can really start to get an idea of how you're responding. As far as exercise, some symptoms that I want you to start tracking are really related to recovery. So how do weights feel when you pick up a weight? Does it feel heavy? Does it feel light? Does it feel the same? Sometimes when you're not recovering, weights will just feel really heavy. How do your limbs feel? Do your arms and legs feel heavy? Or does it feel like it would take a lot of effort to do a plyometric jump? Or do you feel really springy and light? Are you noticing in Evlo classes that you're approaching failure maybe sooner than you usually do? And you're like, oh my gosh, this is a struggle. Might mean that you're not recovering, or that your recovery is suffering a little bit. Or on the flip side, do you feel like, oh my gosh, every single set this class, I'm going way past our counts. Maybe that means that your recovery is great. How are you feeling as far as connection to your muscle? Are you feeling really connected to your muscles? Are you struggling to feel them contract? Again, another measure of recovery. And then lastly, are you feeling more sore than usual? Sometimes you're like, I'm doing the same workouts and yet my body feels so sore. Or are you surprised that you had a great workout the day before and you feel no soreness? Soreness is so finicky, and I don't like to put a ton of stock in soreness, and that's why I put it last, but it could just be something to kind of pay attention to. So all those are great questions to ask yourself and will give you an idea of how well you're recovering given you're exercising with Evlo or given that you're following another program that's utilizing the five basics that I spoke about earlier. Let's get into what changes if you are a menstruating woman who is not on hormonal birth control. So a normal cycle is about 28 to 35 days, give or take, and it can roughly be divided into two halves. So you have your follicular phase and you have your luteal phase. The follicular phase begins on the first day of your bleed, of your period, and ends after ovulation. This can be 2 weeks, sometimes a little shorter, sometimes a little longer. At the very start of your cycle, day one of your bleed, again, is where your hormones are at their lowest. So right when you start your period, your hormones have dropped, your sex hormones have dropped, and this is where you have an excellent capability to recover and handle stress. This might be a time in your cycle where you're closest to a man hormonally. You may feel more energetic and motivated during your period because of the drop in these hormones. And so I'm going to talk about some recommendations on how to train during this time, but this might be a time where you tackle something difficult or tackle something that feels like stressful because you have better resilient to stress, both physically and emotionally. And then, so that takes us through, you know, the first week of our period. And then after your period up to ovulation is still in the follicular phase. And this is the phase where your hormones are starting to rise a little bit and your recovery isn't as high as it was when you were on your period, but you still have really good ability to recover during this phase. So during like the second-ish week of your follicular phase before ovulation. So that's your follicular phase, week one and two-ish. And again, I'm saying weeks, but this could be, you know, each of those could be 5 to 10 days or maybe even longer. So after ovulation, then we get into the luteal phase, and the luteal phase occurs when there's no egg implanted. And the goal of this luteal phase is to build the endometrial lining that then you will shed when you have your period. So during the luteal phase, your energy expenditure may increase slightly, and it's not a lot. It's like 100 calories per day. So I don't think it's really enough to adjust how you're eating, but it's just kind of an interesting little tidbit. So your energy expenditure is higher because progesterone is increasing, and progesterone is a catabolic hormone. Catabolic means breaking tissue down. So the reason that progesterone is higher is because it's breaking down tissue to increase circulating amino acids so that your body can have energy to and fuel to build that new endometrial lining. Because you're in more of a catabolic state, recovery decreases slightly in the second half of your cycle in the luteal phase. Inflammation also may be a little bit higher because of this catabolic increase. You may notice some mood swings, some sleep issues. You may notice lower HRV if you are using an Oura ring or a Whoop. And towards the end of that luteal phase, when you get closer to your period, these symptoms might start to become more pronounced. You might, again, this is like PMS symptoms where you're noticing like fatigue, potentially sleep issues, and all of that's going to ultimately affect recovery and affect your workouts. Okay, so that's really basic about what's happening from a hormonal perspective if you're not on hormonal birth control. You've got the follicular phase, which in general, great recovery, and then you've got your luteal phase where recovery might drop a little bit. We'll talk about more specifics on how to train here in a moment. We'll also talk about how to cycle sync if you're not on hormonal birth control, because again, the recommendations are going to be a little bit different. But before we get into that, I want to talk about where social media is a bit off with this and hopefully educate so that you can keep your eyes open when you start to see stuff. So I did a quick TikTok search, and here's what came up with how to cycle sync your workouts. They recommend during your period, you walk, rest, do yoga, Pilates. During your follicular phase, which is, I guess, right after period and before ovulation, do cardio, cycling, strength training. Around ovulation, they recommend heavy lifting and strength training. And then in your late luteal phase, right before you start your period, moderate strength training, reformer Pilates, and walking. So I don't recommend any of that, to be honest. And here are my problems with this. Most social media is recommending cycle syncing based on an antiquated view of what's happening during your cycle. This is based in the old misunderstanding and conditioning about our periods. You're not a fragile flower during your period. This is actually the time where you have the best ability to recover. So recommending walking and rest during your period is really a missed opportunity where you could actually recover and load your muscles in a way that will ultimately result in muscle hypertrophy. So it's a great time to strength train. I do not recommend just walking and doing Pilates during your period. So the second issue is that there's no continuity of training. If you notice, you're doing different things every week, which goes against one of the five basics for building muscle, which is structure and progressive overload. So you're jumping between workouts so much that you won't be able to actually make any kind of progress. Your body really does need consistent stimulus in order to adapt. And by changing what workouts you're doing each week, it's going to be kind of hard to see progress. So this is just another example of how social media trends can kind of miss the mark when it comes to the science behind what's happening in our bodies. I really like the intention behind cycle syncing because, again, I think it just is being aware of how you're recovering and adjusting accordingly instead of just trying to wedge yourself into something because you think you have to. So I really like the intention behind it, but I just wanted to re-educate on maybe a more effective and efficient way. Okay, so let's get into cycle syncing workouts. I want to summarize everything that I've talked about so far. I'm trying to get better about interjecting some summaries to try to hopefully make it so that you're really able to take away valuable things in this. So to summarize where we've been so far, why should you consider cycle syncing if you are a menstruating female? Cycle syncing may be able to help you recover better. And if you're recovering better, and you're adjusting your workouts based on your ability to recover, you may be able to stay more consistent and you may in the long term see better results. What is happening during your period and how is recovery affected? Your follicular phase, or from the first day of your bleed to when you ovulate, is really the best time for recovery physiologically because your hormones are a little bit lower. And then in the second half of your phase, in the luteal phase, you start to drop in recovery a little bit, and you might start to experience some symptoms related to mood, fatigue, and sleep. As far as what we take from social media, I highly recommend just ignoring pop culture's advice on cycle syncing because it really doesn't account for what's happening in your physiology from a recoverability standpoint. And it's going to be hard to progress because of lack of continuity with your training. All right. Now it's time for probably why you're here. How can you apply this into your training? Remember that how we feel psychologically will supersede what our physiology says, which I think is just goes to show the power of the brain. It's so awesome. But when we hear that we should feel a certain type of way on your period and the placebo effects really does make you feel that way, that doesn't make it any less real. That does not make your experience any less real. So this is not to shame you or make you feel bad for being or dumb or anything like that for being like, oh, my, this whole time I do feel bad when I'm on my period. Like, what's going on? I'm just suggesting that you should pay attention to how you feel. Even after listening to this podcast episode and understanding your cycle a little bit more, know that there's a ton of variation, and I want you to take away tools to adjust your routine based on your own recovery. And I'm never saying don't train hard. I'm never saying don't lift. It's more just to not beat yourself up when you do feel awful and demotivated and exhausted and maybe weaker during certain parts of your cycle. And knowing when to back off because you have lower abilities to recover really may help you continue to move forward. For me, I find it a lot easier to give myself grace when I'm like on that 5-day runway before my period and I'm feeling just awful. I'm feeling weaker. It just happened to me last week. And I even talk about it in workouts. I'm like, I usually use 30 pounds for chest presses. Today I'm using 25s, and even these 25s feel heavy. So it is okay. And I think it's like really giving you permission to not beat yourself up. If you are not on hormonal birth control, here's what I recommend. If you're an Evlo member or if you're following those five basics, I don't necessarily recommend adding or taking out strength workouts throughout your cycle. How you'll cycle sync to build muscle is you'll just adjust your effort during the workouts and add or remove HIIT. So you're not really taking out your strength training workouts or adding strength training workouts. You're just adjusting within each workout, and then you're removing or adding HIIT if you want. I'm not personally doing HIIT right now, but if you're someone who wants to add HIIT, You can, and based on your cycle, I'm going to tell you how to do that. So the advice is really simple. If you feel like trash, listen to that. You can do the workout that's on your schedule, but maybe you just drop down by like 5 pounds, or you use body weight where you would normally use a dumbbell. Like I gave the example of usually I use 30s for chest presses, even 25s were feeling light. So I just rocked with my 25s and I did what I could. You still do want to focus on getting close to failure, no matter kind of where you are in your cycle, but know that that might happen a lot sooner if you are in your luteal phase versus when you're in your follicular phase, for example. So be willing to drop your weight and not beat yourself up if you need to. All right. So I'm going to divide this into weeks if you're not on hormonal birth control, but it could be anywhere from like 5 to 10 days within each little phase. So it doesn't have to be like one solid week, like Monday through Sunday. It can be a little longer, a little shorter. So day one of your period, and then throughout about that whole week when you're on your period, that's when you have the best ability to recover. So I recommend taking advantage of this by lifting weights, focus on getting close to failure. Again, so you're not changing much in your lifting sessions. You just might notice that maybe you can go up and wait a little bit, or maybe you feel like you can do more reps without getting close to that failure point. So that's how you're going to adjust your lifting sessions. As far as HIIT, this could be a time where you add HIIT. Maybe you add 1 or 2 short HIIT sessions. Remember, short is important, 15, 20 minutes max, and then 2 times per week max. I never recommend the long boot camp classes. I don't think that women should be doing those. So focus on building muscle and short HIIT sessions if you want. Again, I'm not doing HIIT right now. I might add it back later, but that's what I would recommend for this part of your cycle. As far as light intensity cardio during your period, you can definitely continue to do your 150 minutes of light to moderate intensity cardio. For me, this is when I'm on my period, I feel really good, like doing a little bit more like moderate intensity cardio. So like hiking or playing tennis or quicker walks. I feel like I can walk like really fast during this time because I just feel like springy and light and great. If you're an Evo member, you could feel great taking the low impact cardio burst classes each day for the first half of your cycle. If you're a runner, maybe this might be a good time to add some more intense runs. So during your period, this could be a time where you're lifting the weights, you're potentially adding 1 or 2 short HIIT sessions, and then the light intensity cardio that you just do more as like lifestyle stuff, you might consider going on hikes or playing tennis or ramping that up a little bit. Remember that you're not adding in the cardio for weight loss. That's just to kind of take advantage of the fact that you have a little better recovery during this time. Around ovulation, after you're finished with your period and then before ovulation, around week 2-ish, you'll still probably feel higher energy and have good recovery. You can continue to lift and do optional HIIT. Some people may notice that they feel amazing around ovulation and they feel high energy, and they could take advantage of that with continuing and really training in the same way that you do when you're on your period. Some people don't feel great at this time, in which you can take a HIIT session out or maybe go a little bit lighter in your lifts. As far as cardio during this week, same recommendation as it is for when you're on your period. So I'm still recommending that 150 minutes per week of light to moderate intensity cardio. But you may just feel like you have the energy and recoverability to do something a little bit more on that moderate side, like hike or play tennis or whatever. After ovulation, when we get into our luteal phase, the first week of our luteal phase, week 3-ish, your recovery starts to drop a little bit. Continue to lift and be aware of how you're feeling during your workouts. And if you're struggling to recover, take out your HIIT. I personally don't see much difference in this week, so I keep everything about the same, really from week 1 to week 3. Well, week 1 and 2, I think I really push my lifts a little bit more, and it's not necessarily intentional. It's just because I'm like, oh, I'm feeling strong, and I just take advantage of that. But then week 3, I think I do sometimes notice I'm a little bit weaker. And so I've just gotten in the habit of not really like associating that with my cycle. I just associate it day by day. And so I'll drop my weight a little bit sometimes during that week, but I don't notice a huge difference during this week. From a light intensity cardio perspective during week 3, again, just play it by ear. I don't really change much at this time, but you may back off a little bit if you're noticing that your recovery is struggling. And then finally, the late luteal phase. So the last five-ish days of your cycle, that's when your recovery is the lowest. This may be when you're starting to experience PMS symptoms. You might feel your motivation waning. You may struggle with some of those recovery metrics, right? You may feel like weights feel really heavy, or your limbs feel heavier, or you're not sleeping well. It's harder to connect to muscles. All of those things can be common in the late luteal phase, in that kind of week-ish before your period. During this phase, if you're noticing that you're struggling with recovery, I would recommend potentially going a bit lighter, and you're still wanting to load and challenge your muscles, but maybe you're taking modifications where you're getting more ground or wall support. For example, let's say we're doing sissy squats, and instead of doing sissy squats, you feel like a little bit weaker. Maybe you feel like, I don't know if I'm as stable. I'm struggling to connect to my muscles. That's a great time to get some more wall or ground support to improve the stability cues to your nervous system so that you can improve that neuromuscular adaptation or neuromuscular activation. So for example, instead of doing that sissy squat, maybe you go to the wall and you do wall sits, or you do ball wall slides, where you have a little bit more contact between your back and a stable surface to improve that neuromuscular connection. This can be also a great time where you potentially remove HIIT, and maybe you even lengthen your Shavasana time. So the time at the end of class where we're in final relaxation, maybe you're adding a little bit more time into that so that you're improving that parasympathetic nervous system drive, which can help with your recovery. Also maybe a great time to add some meditations to your routine, especially right before you go to sleep, so that you can hopefully improve your quality of sleep. For cardio, I would recommend, what I do is I do long, slow walks. My limbs always feel really heavy during this week, and I'm not sure if I'm describing that correctly, but it's just like, it just feels more effortful. Like sometimes it feels like you're walking through mud or something, and that's a sign that your recovery is a bit lower. So what I do is I just keep my body moving with just slower walks. I just kind of walk really slow. I'm not worried about getting my heart rate up as much. And I'm more focused on just moving my body in a ways that's not really going to get in the way of my recovery. So that's how to cycle sync if you're not on hormonal birth control. But remember that it's just day by day. Wake up and assess how you feel and adapt accordingly. That's what I do, and it kind of ends up matching with my cycle. But your cycle isn't the only factor that's affecting your recovery. If you've got some other things going on in your life, some other stressors, that's also going to affect your recovery. So wake up and assess this kind of day by day. Quick note, if you have a longer cycle, so if you're on that like closer to 30 days instead of like 25, for example, the part of your cycle that lengthens is actually the follicular phase, not the luteal phase. So the time between when you end your period and ovulation is what's longer, not that luteal phase when you are post-ovulation and building up to your period. This is actually good news because, you know, that first half of the cycle is tend to be where people feel the best and have the best recovery. So it's good news because it means you have more time in that high recovery ability. All right, let's get into workouts if you have a hormonal IUD. And this is going to be pretty similar to no birth control recommendations. You may feel less severity of symptoms and less fluctuations. So you still can cycle sync if you're on an IUD. You just have to get kind of really in tune with your body and start to get a little bit more granular with it. So in general, you'll have good recovery in the first half of your cycle. And then the second half of your cycle, you'll have less recovery and your energy starts to wane, things like that. So you may feel stronger and you can increase your weights a little bit and potentially add HIIT in the first half of your cycle. And then the second half, if you're feeling your recovery start to wane, take out the HIIT and you may feel like you need to drop your weight a little bit. When I was on a hormonal IUD, I tried to track my cycle and I was on a type of IUD where I didn't have a bleed. So it was really hard for me to do. And honestly, I did not have much success with it because I didn't really feel much of a change in my body throughout my cycle. Like I didn't really notice much of a difference. I didn't really notice much of a difference in my recovery levels. So you can certainly try, but just know that it may not be as pronounced or as important to cycle sync if you're on a hormonal IUD. All right, let's talk about the pill. These are going to be some broad generalizations because there's different types of oral contraceptives and things like that. But when you're on an oral contraceptive, the hormones are building in your system as you go through the pack. So you're going to have a little bit different fluctuations in hormones than someone who is not on a hormonal birth control or even someone who is on a hormonal IUD. So it just affects your body a little differently. So in general, the last 5-ish days of your sugar pill and the first 5-ish days of your active pill are going to be where recovery is the best since the hormones from your pill have dropped. Right? They build up throughout the pack and then you get on your sugar pill and then they slowly start to drop. So once you're towards the tail end of that sugar pill and then the first few days, first 5-ish days of your active pill, that's when your recovery tends to be the best. So bookending your HIIT during those times, if you're going to add HIIT, and then maybe you notice you can lift heavier or you feel stronger during those times. In the middle is when you may feel your recovery dip down a little bit, in which case you could drop weight if you need to. Remember, you may not need to, and potentially take out HIIT. So that's how I would recommend cycle syncing if your workouts, if you're on hormonal, if you're on oral contraceptives or the pill. Okay, so that was a lot. I want to summarize by saying that you have to get good at adjusting based on your symptoms of recovery. Your cycle is one factor that will impact your ability to recover, but there's other factors in your life as well. This is why I recommend taking it day by day and asking yourself these questions, maybe before or during your workout. Do your weights feel heavy or light or the same? Do your limbs feel heavy, like it would take a lot of effort to do a plyometric jump, or do you feel light and springy? Are you noticing in your workouts that you're approaching failure sooner than you usually do? Or do you feel like you could go a little bit longer? Are you feeling connected to your muscles, or are you struggling to feel your muscles contract? Are you feeling more sore than usual? Or are you surprised that you had a great workout the day before and maybe you feel no soreness? You might write these down somewhere and start to ask yourself those questions during your cycle. And even if you're not trying to cycle sync, I think these are great questions to ask yourself just as a fitness enthusiast in general. When your recovery is good and you are answering all those questions based on good metrics of recovery, you never need to add more strength workouts. Just adjust your effort within the strength workouts that you're doing. So if you're on the Evlo 5-time-per-week track, you're not adding 6 and 7 workouts. You're just doing the Evlo 5-time-per-week track, but you're adjusting your effort within those workouts. Remember, less but better is our philosophy. When you're feeling good, you can focus on getting close to failure in your lifts, potentially adding HIIT. I'm not doing HIIT right now, so you don't need it. But if you like HIIT and you want to add it, you definitely can. It can be beneficial. When your recovery is struggling, I recommend HIIT is the first thing to go. So take out your short HIIT session, potentially drop your weight a little bit if you're struggling with your heavier weights, and don't beat yourself up if you notice that you get close to failure sooner than you usually do. You can also use tools like spending a little bit longer in final relaxation at the end of your workout in Shavasana. You can add some meditations to help improve your parasympathetic signaling. Okay, I hope this was helpful. And more than anything, I want this to be empowering. I think there's nothing more empowering than educating yourself and understanding your own body. Remember that we have a 14-day free trial of Evlo. Our goal is to help you build muscle by working with your physiology instead of against it. We have brand new classes every Monday through Friday. Every class is taught by a doctor of physical therapy. So we really try to make the membership as valuable and as impactful and helpful as possible. There's a link in the show notes if you want to get started on your 14-day free trial. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will see you all next week. Same time, same place. Bye for now.